with so many different Purim thoughts on our minds, the idea of being ready for Parshas Tzav is something that should not get lost. Of course, we begin Parshas Tzav with a command, Tzavas Aron v'yes banav le'mor. Rashi comments that there needed to be a command, Tzav, now and ledoros, because there was to be a potential financial loss. And financial losses are often difficult for people to accept, and so therefore Rashi says there was a need to be a zeros. Now, how can one fathom that a Kohen would need an additional incentive of zeros when serving Hashem? Really, how does that make any sense? A Kohen? What is that? What's the logic over there? So the late great Rosh Hashiva of Yeshivas Chafetz Chaim of Henoch Leibowitz, Zecher Tzadok Livracha, answers that indeed, this is the case when we're faced with a financial loss. For financial losses, even a Kohen, even in the Avodah, we need some incentive. He cites a proof text from the Yerushalmi that retold an episode which concerned Rabbi Yochanan, who couldn't answer Shalos on a particular day because he had been robbed of his money in the morning, and his head was in his heart, and his heart, at the time, was in the money and the financial loss that he had been robbed of. Tzavas Aaron, it's supposed to be a issue of zeros, even in a situation of Hefseid Mamon. Then the Torah continues with the understanding, Zos Torah Sa'ola, this is the Torah of the Ola. In fact, in Parshas Tzav, we find the idea of Torah coming up quite a number of times. And Rav Shlomo Volba's Atzal noted that in Parshas Vayikra, we do not find the word Torah used in relation to the Karbanos, even though in this Parsha, Torah Sa'ola, Torah Smincha, Torah Shlomim appears quite a bit. Why the difference? So Rav Volba explains that when something is explained in its entirety, then it can be called Torah. But in Vayikra, we just get the basic rules. They are given elaborately in Tzav, and so therefore in Tzav, when you give something down to the finest detail, it gets called Torah. We're told that there is a mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen, Votzias Hadeshen al Michutz Lamachana, and the Gemara in Yuma, on Daf Chav Beis, Amud Beis, notes that originally there was no lottery for Trumas Hadeshen, but rather there was a race up the ramp of the Mizbech. Whoever got there first was Zochet to do the Trumas Hadeshen. And this was the case until someone came along and pushed his friends off the Mizbech in order for him to win. Based on that Gemara, Pamzatzal noted that when a person thinks only about his own Ruchnias, he or she will come to push a friend off the ramp. Ruchnias is not supposed to be an individualized competitive sport. Ruchnias is an idea that we are supposed to have within ourselves, and we're supposed to gain from one another and from ourselves. And so therefore, if we're not working on it together for betterment, there is going to be a potential problem within that Ruchnias. We're told in regard to the kelim, umorak v'shutach b'mayim, it was purged and rinsed together. Now why is it that the two times that hechsher kelim is discussed in the Torah is in regard to kashering kodesh, as in this week's parasha, and of kashering from Gentile use, as in the case of Parshas Matos, where we're told about geulei klei midyan? So the Rosh Hashiva of the Rosh Kolol of Kolol Eretz Chemda Rav Yosef Carmel Shalita suggested that kelim can technically have absorbed problematic substances, in which case technical solutions, including waiting, suffice to solve the problems. However, kelim can also represent activity with which they were involved. So, for instance, when we were dealing with the Midianites, their kelim represented their lifestyle and the lack of concern of purity of what they ate. And so therefore, they need to be cleansed, both through Hagala and Tevila, before we can use them for our activities. On the other hand, in the same way that the meat of Kachim needs to be dealt with diligently, and not allowed to become stale and stagnant, so too the kelim that we use to make that Kodesh needs to remain fresh, not allowed to sit around long time. And so thus, it requires switching of Kli Cheres and renewing other kelim. In other words, we live in a world with tools that can promote Kedusha, or Tumah, or some combination thereof. And so we need to ensure that our kelim are being used in a manner that's consistent with the desired result. Umorak b'shutaf b'mayim. We're told, Imal ha-todah yivienu, yakrivenu. If a person brings a carbon todah as a carbon todah, now why must a person bring a carbon todah? Why can't he just verbally thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why is it necessary to bring the whole carbon? So Rav Dessler Zatzal, in a famous letter that he wrote, explains that in his context of expressing his own personal thanks, he writes to the writer that the true Karban Todah is one that takes the entire sense of being of the person offering the thanks. A simple thank you does not really express the full sense of the person's gratitude, right? When one brings a Karban, he or she is stating that the animal replaces the entire sense of being of the person being offered at the time. And so we need to take that in mind and keep it in mind when we are considering our thanks. The animal stands as the full atzmius of the human being, and that's what needs to be focused upon. We're told, Kachas Aaron Vesbanov, take Aaron and his sons, and Rashi explains that Moshe was instructed to encourage Aaron in word. All right, Ashrecha, encourage him by words. So Rabbi Baruch Saratzkin Zatzal, one of the Rashi Yeshivas of Tells, explains that it wasn't only the regular Kohanim who needed to be encouraged to recognize the great office that they were ascending to, and to understand that which they would be giving up in the process. The Kohen Gadol also needed the encouragement, because it's difficult for any human being to give his whole life for spirituality, understanding that this is his purpose in life, that serves as the encouragement. And thus, Moshe Rabbeinu gave the encouragement not only to the Kohanim, but to Aaron as well, to tell them that what? The Kila Kach Notzarta, this is what you were created for, rise to the occasion. At the end of the parasha, we're also told, Vayas Aaron Ubanav, that Aaron and his sons did exactly that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe. And Rashi explains that Aaron, Melamed Shvachu Shalo Shina, that he didn't veer. And of course, we find that similar statement in Parashas Baaloscha. But why is it so praiseworthy that Aaron stayed on course? He was Aaron HaKohen. Of course he stayed on course. So Rav Moshe Rosenstein, Zatzal, the late Mashgiach of Lomja, explained that part of the praise of a tzaddik is that he also doesn't have the Yetzirah of even a simple person. The tzaddik could have chosen to be a simple person who would have had simple values, but the tzaddik chose to rise to the level of tzaddik. That doesn't mean he doesn't get the reward due to the simple person too. He has simple person challenges plus, and so therefore he's entitled to the simple person's schar plus. And that's what the Torah intent here is for as well. Schar, for not veering, is applicable to the tzaddik as well. Even though we've come to expect that from him, we still need to give him that schar too. Finally, this week's Haftorah is one of the rare times that we offer it, given the fact that Parshas Tzav is often Shabbos HaGadol, and when it's not, sometimes it could be Shabbos Zachor. But still, we're told, Al Yisalel HaChacham B'Chachmaso, Al Yisalel HaGibor B'Gvuraso, Al Yisalel HaShir B'Ashro, don't praise the Chacham for his wisdom. Rav Shachter Shlita reminded us that the Gemara notes that everything is predetermined prior to birth, except for Yerushamayim. And the proof test that the Gemara cites is from this very pasuk in Yirmiyahu, that wisdom, strength, and wealth, it's all there. The Rambam includes all human decisions, though, in Yerushamayim, which means that all those things are for us to figure out. And this would seem to preclude the idea of the Shidduch being said 40 days before a child is born. Now, the Meiri says it depends on whether this is a Zivug Rishon or a Zivug Sheni. And the Meiri further explains that Zivug Rishon is not just the first time a person gets married. Zivug Rishon is the shidduch that when people are young, 10, 12, when they get married. Or if Rabbi Rav Shechter added, today when we get married later than 12 and 13, that's not called Zivug Rishon. It's part of the Yerushamayim of Zivug Sheni, and it involves Bechira Chavshis. So we and our decisions of whom to marry, how to marry, and how to continue to live together, that is Zivug Sheni, and it does involve Bechira Chavshis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the Koach of Bechira Chavshis. He did Nisim to us, Bayamim Mahim Bazman Hazeh, and may he continue to do those Nisim so that we can get to the ultimate stage where we experience the Geula Shlema, B'mheira V'yameinu, Shabbat Shalom to all.